Let's look at Rashi. Rashi, we're holding on the fourth line from the top of the page. So, Rotsa Sunni Zonis, or she could collect a ksuba because she has Meis Bali. Sheisha Nemedes Lemer Meis Bali. A woman is believed when she comes and says her husband died, but Tinose, and she's allowed to remarry. And once she's believed to remarry, she's also believed to collect the ksuba. In the ksuba, it says that when you remarry, you'll collect this ksuba. So that's what's happening. So the chiyuv ksuba is not predicated on that we know for sure that he's dead. Chiyuv ksuba is predicated on the fact that she's remarrying, which if she reaches the state that she can remarry because of the special halacha, that she's believed to say Meis Bali, so she the ksuba has kicked in and she collects her ksuba. She says Gersheni Bali. So Mis Parnesses Velechus Ksuba Lo Gavya Shema Lo Gersha. She can't collect the ksuba because maybe he didn't divorce her. They did not give her an emunah to say that she was divorced. So, but then if she's not divorced, then he has the chiyuv mezonos. But we will calculate this mezonos against the payment of the ksuba. Potentially, she is divorced. Emunah. Im Gershar Rein Not Lasan Miksubasa. If he divorced her, so up to the value of the ksuba, she can take it as payment for her ksuba. Bimlab Rehu Chaibim is in a sale. But more than the value of the ksuba, she can't take, because then you don't have the Mamanashach anymore. Okay. So Mor says the case was that the Bezin heard that he had died. So she said it was divorced. The Bezin heard that he had died. Okay. So Mor says, Ihihi da absidon abshot. Shomer gersheni. So she would not have said anything. She would get mezonos as an almana. And we have a shmuel that he died, so Betrush can cut the ksuba as well. Now that she says Gersheni, so she has no mezonos, only the ksuba. Mechitema, the Rashi Kim, the Shema, Shemais, Tigba ksubasa Yachet, she cut the ksuba not as mezonos, but at one time. In other words, till now we understand the case was that she has to come on to Mamanashah, so she can't collect it in one shot, because there's no din mezonos of collecting it all in one shot. It's as she gets her mezonos, we calculate that against her ksuba. But now that we're saying that we have a shmur that he died, Mona has the right to come and ask for her ksuba. So she's saying Gersheni. So if it's false, the Gersheni, she's saying, Mona asking for her ksuba. If it's true, it's a Grush asking for her ksuba. She can collect the full ksuba. You don't have to wait to do it as Mazarnas. She can collect the ksuba. So, yeah. So Rashi says, Eichanami. Behind the Kamar Mispanes is Vahilachas. Is that that's the only way she could do it? It's that she may do it. It means im ena roitzo litzuk subasa. She doesn't want to cut the ksuba now. The swara she thinks shem aloy meis. Menach lo litzul the shem mezonos. So if he didn't die, she takes his mezonos. Im yaba ba'ala take kol ksubasa miskayemis. Therefore, Mishpanes is asking the Ksubos of Basu lo yibinu. So the husband comes back and denies the Gerishin. For before, so the Mizonah she got is Mizonah that they're hers. She's married. And if she argues, if he then subsequently divorces her, so she'll collect the Ksuba then, the full amount. Fine. So the Gemara. So we're holding in the Gemara in the fourth wide line. So the Gemara came out at the end that the Hilchasa is like Rav that requesting Mizonos Leishis Ish. Hilchasa Kabbat said the Rav Huna Amar Rav, the Amar Huna Amar Rav, the Chel Isha Shetiyama the Bala, and in Mizonos Beni Oisa. So she has a right to say she's not mashubit to him to my sidayim. It's other round. He's mashubit to her for the mazonis, and in order to placate him for giving all the mazonis, so we give him her my sidayim. So therefore, she has a right to say, you know what? So don't support me, and I'll keep my own my sidayim. Had Rav been wrong, we would say it's all the way around that the my sidayim is mashubit to the husband, and she has no right to take it away from him. So male, if she wants to say then he has the chiyum mezonos. So if she wants to refuse mezonos, it's her business, but she cannot take away her ma'aser yadayim. So Rav said that's incorrect. You pass him like Rav. Okay. And now, why this is lumped together over here, I don't know. We're going to go back. Excuse me. Is that the psalm in the second parak? And the sauce issues of Kasher and Kalim. So Vilna Gubas is the Rav Zvid Bikunya. So we're going to pass like Rav Zvid in regards to Kalim, which are made out of they have lead in them. So Dumb Rav Zvid Haimani the Kunya. So you have a earthenware kli which is coated with lead. So there's different types of the whatever that lead alloy that they were dealing with. So chivri v'uchmi ishoru, if it was a white colored or a black colored lead, so those are not problematic, you can kasher them. Yeroiki as a serum, if it's a green one, that you can't kasher. Whatever it absorbed of Isser, let's say chametz that absorbed Isser, chametz in it, it won't come out. Chametz, yeah. And then the Morse says, furthermore, even the other ones, so there's a thought process. So we know that you can't kasher, you cannot kasher Kli Cheres. This has a layer of this metal on it. So we're saying you can kasher it, whereas we're saying that the whatever goes in doesn't the layer of metal prevents the chemist from absorbing. Doesn't absorb into the chemist, so you can kasher out the metal part of it, and the chemist is irrelevant. But when it's yoraiki, it doesn't do that. It sort of allows the flavor of chametz, which is inside of the kli, through itself into the cheres, and then when you have a problem, you cannot kasher cheres. So you use it for on Pesach. You have to assume some of the flavor comes out of the cheres through the metal back into the food. That's the problem. And the more says, well, Amoran, alas, behuk chatufni. Even the ones which are permitted, it's only if they don't have any crevices. Alas, behuk chatufni, yes, asiri. Even the chivri and the uchmi, if there are any cracks in it, in the metal, so there it's going to go through to the kli charis, and then back to the same problem. It's going to, the chametz flavor went into the kli charis, and then when you cook it with it on Pesach, the chametz flavor will come out of the kli charis, and there's no way to kasher kli charis. So Rashi. Mani the kodnya kli cheres shemachaben aleim oiferis. It's kli cheres which have a layer of lead on top. Shkaren plum liberlaz. There's your Latin word for lead. Right, that's what the symbol for lead is, PB. Yeruchi asiri. This is relevant for Chametz and Pesach. It's relevant for kashering from Trefa food, from a goy. It's relevant for Yayin Nesach. So Yeruchi is a siri. Tosis brings that the reason we're passing like Rav Zvi is because there's a machloikis that Meremer allows Yeruchi. And even Meremer, who allows says Yeruki also doesn't absorb. He's make on that by Yain Nesef, but not by Chometz and Pesach. By Chometz and Pesach, he agrees to Rav Zvid. So you don't have to pass on Rav Zvid by Chometz and Pesach. Everybody agrees to that. So the Hilchos of Kavos to Rav Zvid, Rashi says in regards to Chometz and Pesach, that's not really correct, because the point of the Machlokes is the green ones. And everybody agrees by Pesach, the green ones are a problem. The point of Machlokes is green ones by Yayin Nesef. So, Rashi says, we're passing like him. He said it in regards to Chometz and Pesach. That's true. But the Pesach of the Gemara is not necessary for that case. Chibushar, if they're white, it's mutter. The Fisher of Eris, Machlik es Acheris. The lead coating makes the cheres smooth, and prevents it from absorbing any food. The reason why they're green is because they have an alloy that is mixed into it. Srif, shekaren alum, b'sechel aferis. There's alum in the aferis, in the lead. Who as it's a very strong metal. It's not only strong, it's sharp. It penetrates into the cheres, and metal absorbs. So it absorbs into the cheres. It's sharp and it absorbs. Katufni is bikui, cracks. Okay. Kiryunish Bilas. So the Mishnah. So I don't know why we're bringing it in Rav Zvid over here. Mishal the Medina Sayyam. Person traveled. Bombed Echad appearance is Ishtai. Somebody on their own volition laid out money to support the wife. So when the husband comes back, can he collect the money he laid out, arguing that it was a loan? Or does the Baal say, I appreciate the fact that you did that, but I don't have to reimburse you? So Chanan Omer Ibed Es Ma'osav, he lost his money. It means he does not get reimbursed. I didn't tell you to lend the money to her that I would pay back. So Nechel Golov Bnei Kohanim Gedolim Ba'amru Yeshava Kama Hoytzi V'Yitul. The person has a right to say I did it as a loan and I want to get reimbursed, and he has to swear how much he laid out, he'll collect. Passes like the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim. Says no. The point that the Chanan said is a good point, and Hinich Moshe will carry the tzvi. If you want to lose money, put money on the horn of a tzvi and see how long it stays there for. Why that mushal? I don't know. The Rashi, Chanan or Ibn Esmoisim, Shalom Marta the Cholachavein. I didn't say, do me a favor, lend this from me. You bend the effort, and I'll pay you back. So the husband never committed to this relationship. He does not mechiv to pay. Now, Rashi says you can have a similar scenario where he would have to pay in the following way. She has the right to collect mezonos from the husband. If the woman on her own borrows money from somebody because she needs mezonos, she has the right to go back to the husband and say, you know, you will recover the payment of mezonos, give me my mezonos money. And I'll pay back plenty who lent me money that I should use to buy food. So that works. So if he had transacted as a loan to the Isha, not as a loan to the man, he came and said, ma'am, here I am representing your husband, here's the money. So it's as if he's lending money to the husband by giving it to her. So he said, husband says, I never asked you. So you didn't lend me any money. If she borrowed the money from him, so then he lent it to her. So she owes him money. And she goes back to her husband and says, I need money. Gablim Hilva Eso Isha. Most the mezonos, if this person lent the woman directly the money for the mezonos, Amanasha should sell him with the understanding that she should pay him back. Who tovah, so he now can be tovah her. He tovah sabal, and he's allowed to turn around and ask the baal for money. She's allowed to turn around and ask her husband for money. Yishalim, and he has to pay it. I mean, Kamali El Me'enis. He says, "Well, also ba'achla, well, no mina." We had such a case before. She borrowed to be able to have mezonos, and then she was a mamayan. So we say, "Well, once she's a mamayan, the whole thing is batal afreya." And the erstwhile husband, does not need to pay back this money lent to the girl. But the only reason that's true is because she's no longer married to him. Because Mian retroactively cancels the marriage. The time of the Mian, it's only true that he doesn't have to reimburse for the loans because the girl was a Mian. Hala Mian, I'm a Shalom. But if she wasn't a Mian, the fact that she went on her own and borrowed money from somebody, so she has the right to turn to the husband and say, listen, I need money to pay back so-and-so who I borrowed the money from him to get the mezonos that you were mechuyev to give me. So that would work. But over here, if he's giving it to her, saying he's coming there as in place of the husband, and therefore by giving it to her as if he's loaning the husband says, I didn't ask you. In this scenario over here, of course you should. Yeah. Okay. This Gemara has a parallel Gemara where learning the dorm next, so at least we're going to get a sneak preview into a piece of Gemara in the dorm. Sanan Hossam, beginning of the fourth parak in the dorm. So Hanoa really should be translated not pleasure, but benefit. I feel like this Hanoa is pleasure. It's in some way, it's something which that there's some tangible financial, whatever, some form of an actual benefit as opposed to just I enjoyed it. So one person is mutter not from somebody else, and that could be one of two ways, either because Reuben and Shimon, so Reuben could say, undertake an edda that he will not benefit from Shimon. Shimon can undertake an edda saying that all of his items are also Reuben. Go either way. Usually, the more it gives the cases over there that Shimon made an edda that Reuben can't get any benefit from him. So in that situation, Reuben's referred to as the mutter, and Shimon is the madir. Shimon made the netter to make his items also around Reuben. He's the madir. He makes it causative, and the one who receives that is called the mutter. So mutter no bechaveroi, a situation where somebody is mutter or not, cannot get benefit from somebody else. Still, shekloi yashekloi. The one who's cannot be a source of benefit to the other, that individual may benefit the other person. For example, in certain cases, for example, he can pay the master shekel for the mutter. The mater can pay the master shekel for the mutter. And the madir can pay the choiv for the mutter. And the madir can return the item to the mutter. So in all three cases, the car at first glance, the car should be a problem because the mutter is getting a benefit from the madir. So in regards to the first two, the argument is that the mutter had other ways of accomplishing this. So there was not considered a real bona fide accrual of benefit to the mutter, and therefore it's mutter. The third one, the more says that Hashem is a mitzvah satara, and the madir is not benefiting the mutter, he's doing his mitzvah.
Can the madir override the mitzvah?
The Mora says that more in the second parak of the Dorm that a netter works differently than a shua. A shua is on an action. I will do something, I won't do something. So that's directly against Mitzvah Zatara. So Mora says a shua cannot take effect on Mitzvah Zatara either yay or nay. I cannot swear that I will go against the Torah, either actively or passively. When the Torah says do something, I can't swear I won't do it, or vice versa. So, because that the shua is directly on the action. Netter is creating some form of a state of iser on a person, on an item, etc. So the Mora says, once that's true, so you cannot be Michael Laila Adam something to him which is usher to him. So the Mora says, I will not sit in the sukkah. So the shua is not effective. The person makes a shua, he will sit in the sukkah, it's also not effective because ain't shua chal shua. He's ready, he has ready a chiyami har Sinai to do it. Person says, I know a sukkah, a sirlai. So the sukkah is offset to him. Well, now there's no sukkah to sit in. So he effectively can't do the mitzvah, but he's not going against the mitzvah. He's just saying that I can't have any benefit from a sukkah. Well, that's a problem. So Moreh says no, because the mitzvah of the hana is nitnus, so you're not called benefiting from the sukkah. Moreh says yeah, but if the sukkah gives you physical pleasure along with the mitzvah benefit, it would be directly problematic. So that's what Moreh discusses. But a soneter can effectively stop a mitzvah. Shua can't. Correct.
Why?
A netter is able to stop a mitzvah. A shua is not able to stop a mitzvah. Well, he created a state of Isser. In our scenario, Reuven created a situation of Isser on Shimon, that everything of Reuven is a prohibited source of benefit to Shimon. So now Reuven's coming to return an Aveda, so Shimon can't get. You can't force Shimon to take this Isser, which he can't do it at first glance. Worse than no, because he's not called benefiting Shimon. He's just doing his mitzvah. But the argument would have been that if it would be a problem, you're forcing Isser on Shimon. You know, it's very nice. You want to do your mitzvah, and you're forcing Chatzah down Shimon's throat. But Shimon can't get this benefit, so you can't do that to Shimon. So Moreh says, now, when Malkum Shadot and Star, they would pay for the work of delivering the Veda, even Midaraisa, there's no dinner paying for the Hashabbos Veda. There is a dinner of Hashabbos. Well, let's re-say that. The finder is not mechuyev to take a financial loss. Say that again. Any expenses that the finder has, actual expenses the finder has, he has the right to charge to the loser. So he finds some goats, you know, he has to feed them until he returns the goats. So he returns the goats with a bill. This was the cost of the food. He had to take up from work to return it. So that the Moreh says he cannot charge him for it. What he can do is say, if it's caused me financial loss, take up from work to return it. So I am exempt from the mitzvah because I'm not going to take up financial loss under these circumstances. The Moreh says that's also fine. But he can't turn around and say, listen, I would have made so X amount of dollars instead of returning the Veda for you, reimburse me for my that potential money that I would have gotten. That is the loser is not willing to pay. And there's a third issue. Well, does he have to pay him for his work? The fellow showed up and says, you know, I worked like a porter. I schlepped this thing all the way across the town. You know, the going rate for a porter is $5 per minute, you know, whatever, right? So that there's also then they charge them for that. But there could be an arrangement which that city people made. Or the courage, Hashem was Aveda, they said everybody will get compensation for their work. So now we have a problem. So in the Malkum Shadot and Schar, if he returns it to if the Madir finds a Veda in a place where they normally pay Schar for returning it, and he gives the Mussar, you know what? Don't pay me. This is great. So now the Mutter has the benefit from the Madir. The money that he should have paid him, he has in his pocket instead. So that's a problem. So the Tibo Nola Hektish. Okay, so the luck is that the Mutter has to take it out of his pocket and do something with it. He can't keep it. So what does he do? He gives it to Hektish. Okay. Moreh says like this. So let's go through the cases. So if the Madir is doing the Mutter a favor by paying for his shekel, So they answered, why is that mutter? Because mitzvah ka'avid, then terminal ovid, valagovi, valosiliguis. So Shimon, the our scenario, Shimon is the mutter, hasn't given his shekel yet. Now they do Trumas Alishra. So 95% of Kleistos contributed already, 5% hasn't contributed yet. So you say, well, the Korban belongs to the 95%, the 5%, they have no chelik in the Korban. That's not true. When they do the Trumas Alishra, they're doing it al das, what they're taking belongs not only to the people who have given the money, but first of all, even money which did not arrive to the Mikdash, because it got lost along the way, something happened to it. And even money which is going to be collected in the future. So the mutter gets a chelik in the korban even without paying the money. Comes with Reuben and says, Reuben pays the money for him. So he didn't really give him a benefit. The money doesn't go into Shimon's hands. The benefit is that he gets a portion in the korbanos. Well, he gets it anyway.
It's not just those who are going to pay. That means even if someone was not going to pay.
That's what Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos has problems with that, but that's what Rashi learns the Gemara. Okay. So we say, wow, Reuben's being such a nice guy to Shimon, he's benefiting Shimon by returning his right to him. No, Reuben's doing his mitzvah. And Shimon's getting, that's like a secondary, that's a result. That's not a direct act of him being Mahana. Reuben's being focused on doing his mitzvah, not being Mahana Shimon. And that's mutter. But how can Reuven pay Shimon's chayv? He's actually saving him money out of his pockets, and that money is as if he gave him money. He's getting an actual financial gain. Okay, so how can that be? So Amar Avoshia Hamani Chananhi Damar Ibedes Moisav. So that if that would be true, that Shimon owes money to Beryl. Reuben goes to Beryl, says, "Here's the money for Shimon's loan." So if Reuben would have a right to turn to Shimon and say, "You know, Shimon, I let out the money for you, now you owe me money," then when Reuben forgoes that money to Shimon, he's mamish benefiting him. But if Chanan is right, so Reuben goes to Beryl and lays out the money for Shimon. He goes to Shimon and Shimon says, "Get out of here, I never asked you to do it." So then it's not called Reuben gave a direct benefit to Shimon, because Shimon did not, he's not forgoing the money right now to Shimon. He's saying, "I saved you money which was in your pocket, which you would have had to pay, and now you don't have to pay because of me." He says, "Man, they say I had to pay. Maybe I would have convinced Beryl to make the money." It's not clear that there's a benefit. According to Chanan, according to Chachamim, Beikan, and Begadolim, so Shimon actually owes Reuven money. And if Reuven then forgoes that money, Reuven is actually giving him a benefit from Reuven's property, which is also. According to Chanan, it's not direct. The only issue is he's saving him the money that he would have had to pay to Beryl. So that he says, Mehechotei said, would have had to pay anything. So that's why it's a mutter. Okay. That's one answer. Rabbi says another answer, but let's hold it here. So hold the middle of the thought. Okay, let's hold it here.